Well, brothers and sisters, sometimes our mind becomes confused. Imagine the poor soul that enters eternity thinking that life was all about him. Imagine the poor soul that enters all eternity thinking that they are the focus of the universe. How sad. You see, Jesus is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords.
We'd like to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black.
Our scripture reading today is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. You know, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this series is so many times we have heard the Christmas story over and over and over. And sometimes we take that for granted. When we look at the prophecies about Jesus, when we look at the prophecies concerning his birth, when we look at the prophecies concerning his life, I stand amazed at the plan of God. From the very beginning, God had a plan. And from the very beginning, God has loved you. That's amazing to me. And so today I want to look at the prophecies of his kingship. But let's go to the Lord first. Father God, as we come to you now, we pray that your word will be in our hearts. Satan snatches that word from our hearts because he knows that the word is powerful. Lord, we pray that he not snatch that word. That God, you teach us and strengthen us and help us to realize this wonderful Christmas time and just exactly what it cost and what it means. We praise your holy name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at that passage of Scripture And I find it amazing that it says, "And he will reign over the house of David forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Jesus, the King of Israel. We sang a lot of songs about the King of Israel. You know, the Gaithers wrote a song, "The King is Coming. The King is Coming." I was going to do that today. I was, but I thought we don't have time to do that today. But it's a wonderful song. A song about the King is coming. You know, it was the wise men, and there they go. It was the wise men who came to King Herod, and he asked this: "Where is he who was born King of the Jews? For he has seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, this happened not at the manger, but at the house when they arrived. And the Bible says that Mary pondered those things. I like the word ponder. We don't use it very often. Pondered. It means that she really thought about it. She meditated upon what they were doing there. And yet, I remember when Jesus was questioned by Pilate. The Gospel of John gives us the most information about that interrogation that took place between Jesus and Pilate. And in John 18, 33 through 36, we find this particular statement. It says, Then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Well, you may ask the question, was Jesus a king? If he said, "My kingdom is not of this world," was he a king? Well, I think we find an example of this in the Old Testament. So many times the Old Testament gives us a picture of Jesus. Okay? And when we look at the Old Testament example, we find this. That's my first point. The Old Testament example. We find that example in the life of King David. Now, you may remember that King David was considered the ultimate king. In fact, when you go to Israel, you can go to the tomb of King David. Carol and I went, and they have a separation between the women and the men as you go there. The women have to go on the one side, the men have to go on the other side. And then what's kind of interesting, I forgot to wear my yarmulke. You know, that's a little hat that you put on. So I was in there trying to hide because I realized after I got in there, I wasn't wearing my yarmulke. I wasn't paying honor like I should have. And we got to see that tomb. Well, when we look at King David, we realize that he was a great king, but he made mistakes in his life. Didn't he? But he always repented. It seemed like he turned back to God, and it was of David that he said, "I will establish his throne forever." That's what God said. It'd be through David's line that the Messiah would come. And if you recall, there was a threat to the kingship of David. Remember that? As we studied the kings in our Sunday school class, we found out that there was a culprit, and the culprit was his son, Absalom. Remember that? Well, he was a handsome young man. You know, ladies would call him a hunk, okay? So he was a hunk. He had long, flowing hair. He was very, very handsome. And the Bible tells us that he would go into the city gates and he would talk to the people. And he would tell the people that, well, this would be different if I were king. And this would be different if I were king. And the next thing we know, David was forced out of Jerusalem in disgrace. And he made that march out. And the sad thing was, David deeply loved Absalom. Well, eventually David's army and the armies of Absalom fought. And you remember the story of Absalom. You probably learned this in Sunday school. He's riding along on his mule. I always thought that was funny. Guy riding on a mule. I'm going, that's odd. But a mule was made for a king. And so, therefore, he was the king. He's riding on this mule, and he gets his long hair caught in the branches. Remember that? And he's hanging there in the branches. Yeah. So, it got tangled there, and David's general, Joab, went back after he found out about this, and he killed him. What was then that they returned to Jerusalem, and the king that was rejected, David, now once again was proclaimed king. You see, David returned. He returned. There's another king in the line of David that was rejected. That's my second point. The king that was rejected, Jesus. Remember, they first proclaimed him king? That took place in the triumphal entry of Jesus. Remember reading about that triumphal entry in Matthew? Let's read that together out loud. Matthew 21:5. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Well, taken from the prophecy, that's Zechariah 9:9. That was 500 years before the birth of Jesus. Now, aren't these prophecies amazing? They prove the word of God to be true. And Matthew continues to tell us what was said when Jesus entered that city. Let's read Matthew 21:9-11. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitudes said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. He entered Jerusalem as a king, and the people treated him as their king, just like David was king. But soon, things would begin to change. Now, last week we talked about all the rejection that Jesus Christ had and the prophecies of that rejection as the suffering servant. And he still came because he loved you, knowing all of that. Well, now, in Mark 15:12-15, the crowd rejected him as king. In Matthew 15:12-15, let's read this. Pilate answered and said to them again, What do you want me to do with whom you call the King of the Jews? So they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said to them, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, Crucify him. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. In fact, the leader says, We have no king but Caesar. And the kingship of Jesus was rejected. Now, verse 25 says this. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him, and the inscription of his accusation was written above him, The King of the Jews. It was the Gospel of John that said he was rejected by his own. His own rejected him. Well, number three, guess what? The king is coming. The king is coming again. Just like David had left Jerusalem and came back and proclaimed himself king, Jesus is coming again. In fact, we read that in the book of Revelation. Revelation 19:11-16. He is the King of Kings. Let's read it together. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, that's me, white and clean, that's you, followed by him on white horses. Woohoo, it's exciting. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule with them with an iron, a rod of iron. He himself treads the wine presses of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. The king is coming. Yeah. He's coming again, people. You know, we gather around this table. And every time we gather around this table, we proclaim his death and his resurrection. But we proclaim that he is coming. He is coming. Now, what's interesting is the prophet Zechariah not only talked about him coming into Jerusalem as a king, but the prophet Zechariah, which is now written over 2,500 years ago, in Zechariah 14:8 through 9, made this statement. And this is about when he comes again. And this is exciting. It says, "And in that day it shall be that the living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, half of them towards the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be. The Lord is one and his name one." Wow. He's coming back as king over the earth. Now, in John 18:36, it's very important that we look at the words of Jesus. Remember that? Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. But if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews." But catch this. But now, my kingdom is not from here. He's coming back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And if you read on in that chapter as Pilate talked to him, we can't stop there because Jesus has some more to say. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. For this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Amen. Jesus is king. I wondered if you knew this historical fact, that the United States had an emperor one time. Did you know that? Yeah, the United States had an emperor. His name was Joshua A. Norton. Now, you know where he lived? In San Francisco. In 1859, in his delusional mind, he proclaimed himself the Emperor of the United States of America. He took a sword, he took a plume, and he stuck it in his hat, and he grabbed a robe, a cape, and he marched around in the street proclaiming that he was the Emperor of the United States of America. Well, the citizens were kind of amused by this, okay? So they allowed him to collect a tax. Do you believe that? Only in San Francisco. Okay? They even used his own ceremony and that to promote him. And they all had fun. But to Norton, it was business. He meant it. He became very disillusioned. He became serious about this. In fact, he expanded his authority to Mexico. Yeah. And in 1880, Joshua Norton died. More than 10,000 people came to his funeral. Isn't that something? Now, he never was an emperor, was he? No, in fact, if he had been challenged by the government, they probably would have put him in an insane asylum, okay? But in his confused mind, he thought he was. Well, brothers and sisters, sometimes our mind becomes confused. Imagine the poor soul that enters eternity thinking that life was all about him. Imagine the poor soul that enters all eternity thinking that they are the focus of the universe. How sad. You see, Jesus is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. And we need to make him king now. We need to make him Lord of our hearts. What does Lord mean? Master, controller, the one who controls our life. Have you accepted him or rejected him? He's coming again. The prophecies tell us that that is going to be so. Is he king of your life? Does he rule everything in your life? Is he truly in control? The Bible says, every knee is going to bow and every tongue confessed that Jesus is Lord. Now that says every, not just believers, but unbelievers. I would rather bow my knee now, honor my King, and live for him. If you don't know the Lord today, God is King of kings, and he wants you, and he loves you. Won't you accept him?
Beechwood Christian Church is located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on the website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. That's www.beechwood, like the tree, Christian, that's all one word, .org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and learn how our humble congregation is serving the Lord in Northeast Ohio. If you would like a copy of this message or the whole series on CD, you can find the instructions on the website or email us at sermon@beechwoodchristian.org. Again, we thank you for listening and pray God's blessing on you and your family.